suffer this morning.
I certainly hope you don't. And thank you, Marvin. Appreciate it very much. I feel, while you open your Bibles to Romans chapter 8, I feel so blessed to be here, so honored to be here for this first conference, and I hope the Lord blesses you to have many, many, many more. And I told the folks down home I was coming up here, and I told them all the preachers going to be here, and I said, I'm going to really be in high cotton when I get up there. And I am. You know why they call it high cotton? You've heard that probably all your life. There's cotton that's high. That means you don't have to stoop over real hard to pick it. And don't have to bend over much, you know. And so I'm in high cotton. These fellas are up there, you know. And I really appreciate it. And all the folks from Blantana Grace Church, they send their regards. Every one of them said, be sure and tell them folks and tell Clay and the people to love them. And give my regards to Don and Todd and all of them. You're talking about suffering through preaching. They've been suffering to me for 38 and something years. And this is the amazing thing. They keep coming. They just keep coming. They must keep coming. Romans 8, 28. And we know that all things, there are some things we know. 1 John talked about, I don't know how many things that we know. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom He did predestinate, them He also called, and whom He called, them He also justified, and whom He justified, them He also glorified. I want to bring a message this morning on predestination. Predestination. Let's look at predestination. And predestination is one of the most abused, misused, misunderstood doctrines in God's Word, in the Scriptures. And it's so misunderstood, so misused, and it's not only misrepresented by those who hate it. There are those who hate it. John R. Rice wrote a book, Predestinated to Heaven or Hell. No. That was a total misrepresentation of anybody that believes in the grace of God. But he's not only misrepresented by those who hate it, but them who claim to be its friends. Words mean different things to different people. So if somebody ever asks you, what do you mean by predestination? What do you mean by foreknowledge? What do you mean by grace? You ask them what they mean by it, because what they mean by it, you mean by it, may be entirely different things. Entirely, altogether different. And so you let them define it, and then we define it by what, hopefully, by what God says in His Word. You know, some people say that predestinations will be what will be. Well, in a sense, that's true. What God has willed will be. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. It says here that God, who, according to His own purpose, He purposed. God does everything on purpose. That's how He taught me the gospel. By that one word, the purpose. And you know, He works all things after the counsel of His own will. He does according to His will in the armies of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth. And no man can stay His hand or say unto Him, what are you doing? What are you doing? And so we'll have to say that what God's will, that's what's going to happen. Mark it down. And it's the way I want it to be. I certainly don't want my will to be done. Oh, God's will be done. And I tell you, but that's not what the doctrine of predestination has to do with at all. Some say predestination means that before men were born, God predestinated some to heaven, God predestinated some to hell. That's not true. That's not true. That's not true. That's an absolute misrepresentation of predestination according to what the Bible teaches. It don't say that anywhere in the Scriptures. But I'll tell you this. If any man goes to heaven, it'll be God's fault, it'll be God's grace, it'll be God's mercy that takes him there. And if he goes to hell, it'll be because of his own sin, his own unbelief, and his own rebellion. God don't have to send a man to hell. All he got to do is just leave him alone. But if he saves him, he better not leave him alone or he'll go to hell. He'll go to hell. And I hope, I don't want anybody in this, that I preach to, every time I preach to somebody, at home, wherever I go, it's in my heart's desire, it's my very heart's being, that I don't want nobody to go to hell. I don't. The people I preach to, I don't want nobody to perish. I don't want nobody to miss Christ. I don't want nobody, I don't want to preach to anybody and think when I death that they're going to go to hell. That's just too hard, it's just too much for my heart to bear. So that's why we preach with great expectation. And that's why we preach the gospel. But others say if a person is predestinated to be saved, he'll be saved whether he hears the gospel or not. Whether he seeks the Lord or not. Whether he believes on Christ or not. Now that's one of the things that they really use against us. That believe in the grace of God. They'll say that those folks don't even believe somebody could be saved if they wanted to be saved. And they say if God predestinated, he can't be saved even if he wants to. That's not true. People accuse us of that down home all the time. They say them folks up there, the man can't be saved even if he wanted to be saved. Anybody wants to be saved is saved. And they say whether he hears the gospel or not, or seeks the Lord, or believes on Christ. Paul says this, brethren, I know your election of God. How do I know it? Because the gospel came unto you. Not just in words, Don, not just in words, but it came in power. It came in the Holy Ghost. It came to the heart. It came to the soul. It came to the spirit. It came to the understanding. And when it came with all the assurance that God has done this work. That this is what you heard is true. And it gives you assurance. You know when you have the most assurance? When you're listening to the gospel. Oh, listen. Brethren, we're bound to thank God for you. Who hath from the beginning chosen to you unto salvation. Listen, through the belief of the truth. And sanctification of the Spirit, belief of the truth. Oh, listen. And I tell you what, if God saves a man, anybody wants to be saved. And I'm telling you something. I want to be saved. I want to be saved now. I want to be saved tomorrow. And I want to be saved every day that I get up. I know, you know why I want to be saved? Because I know me. I know me. I know how holy and glorious and righteous and holy and blessed is God. And I know how low and how weak and how frail that I am. I'm just dust. So I want to be saved. I want to be saved. But God uses means to call men to Himself. Man's not going to be saved without means. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. He that believeth on the Son hath life, and he that believeth not, what does it say? The wrath of God abides on him. And if a man wants to truly know Christ, he can. He can. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Well, how are they going to call on Him in whom they have not believed? And how are they going to believe in Him of whom they have not heard? And how are they going to hear with what? Without a preacher. Without a preacher. And no one has ever perished at the door of mercy. Nobody. Nobody. And the word predestinate is used 4 times in the Scriptures. Twice here, and twice over in Ephesians chapter 1. And I want to talk just a little bit about this blessed doctrine, this blessed truth of predestination that's plainly taught in God's Word. And may the Holy Spirit come down among us and teach us today. And there's four things that stand out in these verses that I read to you this morning. And I hope that God will be pleased to let us see what they say. And here's the first thing I want you to understand. In verse 29, it says, moreover, whom He did predestinate, did foreknow. He did predestinate. He might be the firstborn among believers. He also called. He called. He justified. He glorified. Whom He foreknew. He predestinated. He called. And so the first thing we learn right here is that salvation's of the Lord. He did it. You know, everything you find there, he. How many he's are there? You know who He is? Oh, listen, that tells us the salvation's of the Lord. You done quoted it. God who has saved us and called us with the holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus. When? Before the world ever began. Huh? Salvation of the righteous is of the Lord, is what it says. Salvation's of the Lord. And the gift of God is eternal life. It's a gift. The old hymn writer said, 'Tis not that I did choose Thee, Lord, for that could not be. If Thou hast not chosen me, I would have never chosen Thee. I'm going to ask you 3 questions. And I've asked these questions, and you've probably heard them from a lot of different people. But let me ask you 3 questions. And you ask people these 3 questions here, and you talk about a good way to witness to people. 3 questions. And answer these questions scripturally now. Did you choose God, or did God choose you? Did you choose God, or did God choose you? Huh? What does the Scripture say? Romans 3:11. Look what it says over here. 3:11. Did you choose God, or did God choose you? Now, a lot of folks think, you know, I chose God, and men tell you that. They'll stand up and tell you, right flat-footed, looking right at you, and say, you know, it's up to you to make the choice today. Well, I'll tell you where I made my choice. I made my choice in Adam. And had not God made me His choice, that's where I'd have been. And look what it says here in Romans 3:11. There is none that understandeth. Listen to this. There is none that seeketh after God. So if nobody seeks after Him, well, how in the world do you find Him? You don't. He finds you. But oh, listen. He says, and here's what Scripture says. Know ye not that you've not chosen me, but I've chosen you. Chosen you. And our Lord says, you will not come to me that you might have eternal life. And I know this. Men love darkness rather than light. Man left to himself would never come to Christ, never bow to Christ. So salvation. Did you choose God, or did God choose you? And here's the second question. When did He choose you? When did He choose you? This is what most folks believe where I'm at. I call them FWEB churches. You know what the FWEB church is? Free Will Baptist. That's a FWEB. Sometimes they're everywhere. You know, FWEB. So if I ever said that's short for Free Will Baptist, we'll say FWEB. Every time you're FWEB, you know what I'm talking about. But oh, listen. When did He choose you? Did He choose you when you heard the gospel? Did He choose you after you believed? Did he choose you when you made a profession? Did you hear and then take your faith and mix it with his blood? Did you take your works and mix it with his blood? Did you take your good intentions and mix it with his blood? And when you done that, that made everything, that said, God said, well, I'll choose that man because he's professed. I'll choose that man because he believed. No, no. According as he hath chosen us in Christ from the foundation of the world, known unto God are all his works from the beginning of the creation. And here's the third question. If he chose you and you didn't choose him, and he chose you before you, you believe because he chose you, but why did he choose you? Why did he choose you? Why did he choose you? Was it because he saw something good in you? This is why I don't know how many preachers I've heard say God looked down through the telescope of time, and he looked around and he looked around and he said, "I'm going to choose that fellow right there because he's going to believe one of these days. I'm going to choose that person back there because they're going to be a good dedicated Christian one of these days." So he looks down and he decides who he's going to say, but what they're going to, how they're going to react to him. Ah, shoot, weep. Oh, he saw something good in you was because he needed you. Because you wasn't as bad a sinner as another. We love him because he first loved us. Our Lord Jesus looked to heaven and said, "I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent and revealed them unto babes." And every single one of us this morning sitting here, and we all say we're babes when it comes to standing in the presence of God. We're babes. Lord, we're babes. You're going to have to teach us. We're babes. You're going to have to cover us. You're babes. You're going to have to take care of us. We can't take care of ourselves. You're going to have to take care of us. Salvation begins with God's will, not our will. His purpose, not ours. And I'm going to say something right here. There's conditions to salvation, you know. There is. There's conditions. And Christ met every single one of them. Christ met every single one of them. Oh, in fact, if you believe, he gave you the faith. In fact, we're justified by the faith of the Son of God. Faith has to be perfect. Everything that God requires of us, it has to be perfect. Now, our faith in and of ourselves is not perfect, but his is. So we're justified by the faith, the faithfulness of Christ, his work, his merit, his person, and everything about him. And that's why we keep coming to him. Oh, second word. Second word, over in Ephesians 1:5. Let's look at that just a minute. Over here for a few minutes. Ephesians 1:5. It talks about the second word I want us to look at is us. 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 Look what it says in Ephesians 1:5. It says, "Having predestinated us, unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ according to the good pleasure of his will." Oh my. He predestinated us. I like that word, us. Christ died for us. Them. You know, in this verse, there's not the mention of an unbeliever connected with predestination. Unbelievers is not connected with predestination. It is he foreknew. He predestinated. He chose. Them he foreknew. Whatever predestination teaches or brings, and whatever it accomplishes, it only has to do with believers. Not with believers. You know what it says? He loved them with an everlasting love. He chose them in Christ before the foundation of the world. He called them by his grace. He justified them by his grace in the blood. He's gonna, and he glorified, salvation is so complete and powerful that he says he glorified us. It's a done deal. But he also predestinated us to some things. You know, reprobation and spiritual blindness and hardening of the heart, that's another subject altogether. But predestination only has to do with believers, with the children of God. So the second word is us. He predestinated us. The third word is back over here again in Romans. Romans 8. Third word is this. I said four words. First word, He. Salvation's of the Lord. That's what predestination is. Salvation's of the Lord. Second word is us. Us He predestinated. And oh, this is what I love right here. 29. For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate. And this is what I'm talking about. Conformed to something. To be conformed to the image of His Son. To be conformed to the image of His Son. Anybody here don't love and look forward to the day that God will be done with it? God will will be done with this flesh. Be done with this body of sin. Be done with this death. Be done with this prison. And that's what this is. This is a prison. This old body is a prison we're living in. That's why when a believer goes, we rejoice. Man started out made. God said, let us make man in our own image. But sin entered the world by that one man that God made in His image. And we lost that image of God. We lost it. Lost it. And oh how we lost it. We're not born in the image of God, but in the image of fallen Adam, in the flesh. We were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But the Lord in His free grace, God in His free grace, God in His blessed purpose, predestinated and purposed to have a people which no man can number. No man can number. He took Abraham out when He called him. And He said, God to Himself said, Abraham, come out here. And Abraham came out there and said, look up! Abraham looked up. He said, can you tell the stars? Can you count them stars? Can you tell me how many stars are up there? He said, no, I can't. He said, well, that's how many seed, your seed, is going to have. And you know who that seed is? That seed is Christ. And that's how many people He's... It's going to be a multitude that no man can number 10,000 times 10,000. And you know what? And every single one of us will be there like it's just us and Christ by ourselves. That's how glorious He is. That's how glorious our Lord Jesus Christ is. All of us will be there as if we were the only one there. Huh? Oh my. And these people are predestinated, and these people that God chose and He's been predestinated to be conformed to the image of His Son, they're going to be just like His Son one of these days. John said it like this, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. And it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when He appears, we shall see Him as He is. And you know what it says? We'll be just like Him. We'll be just like Him. And oh my. And that's the blessed object of predestination, to make a people like Christ. And God's determined to have a people like the Lord Jesus Christ. And all the means that are necessary to bring us to Christ and make us like Him, He's ordained those means and He's predestinated those means. That's why Paul, he says, you know, he said, as many as were ordained or predestinated to eternal life, what happened to them? They believed.
Do you remember the day you believed?
I believed yesterday. I remember that. I believe today. And if God lets me live, I'm going to believe tomorrow. And I'll tell you something. How many of y'all here have trouble with unbelief? Huh? You know, you never knew you had unbelief until you believed. Did you? Did I have a problem with it? You never knew you had it until you believed. Is that right, Todd? I stole that from Todd. I'm gonna give credit where credit's due. Oh, just say I borrowed it. But oh, listen. Known unto God. You see, He has ordained us and all the means to predestinate us. And one of these days we're going to be like Christ. He chose us in Christ. All the blessings He gives us are in Christ. He made the Lord Jesus Christ to be our surety. And you know the shepherd's responsible for the sheep. And he as a surety, and a surety is one who stands good for someone who is unable, incompetent, insufficient, and don't have the means to meet his obligation. Christ stood as our surety because we're incompetent, we're unable. People say, well, you know, back years ago when they put you in a mental hospital, well, all they had to do is say he's incompetent. And they could put you away for life. If your wife said he's incompetent and kept saying that, they could put you away. But I'll tell you what, we are incompetent. In God, huh? Not only are we incompetent, we're impotent. we're unable. We couldn't pay our debts. And oh my, He made us our surety. And then He, not only did He do this, but chose us and made Him our surety from the foundation of the world. Then He turned around and sent Him into the world. Made Him a woman, made under the law. And then when He sent Him into the world, after He lived 33 years, the Scripture says it pleased the Lord to do what? To bruise Him. To make His soul an offering for sin. Oh, and then it pleased the Lord that after that, that all the fullness of the Godhead should dwell in our Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, so if He's the one that's got all the fullness, that means if we have anything, that's where we got to go to get it. And you know what? I just thought of this. Thank God. But it says we're filled with His fullness. Now, when you go to the ocean, most of y'all have been to the ocean, and you go out there and get you a bucket of water out of the ocean and fill it full of the ocean. If you took anything out of the ocean that's hurt it at all, well, that's what God takes us. We're just nothing but empty vessels. He puts us in Christ, fills us with His fullness, and brings us, sets us outside Him, and oh, my. We're filled with His fullness. And you know why? He's still full after He's filled us with His fullness. He's still full. Oh, but oh, listen. And all the fullness of the God. When you see God, when you see Christ, you see God. And then it pleased God. And this is what I love. Everything, we're talking about what God did. This predestination. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. And then Paul, you know what Paul said? He's old, such a rebel, such a mean, cruel man. So unlikely to be saved. But Paul says, when it pleased God, He separated me from my mother's womb. And then down the road, on the Damascus Road, He called me by His grace. To do what? To reveal His Son in me. And I tell you what, He is the one who brought us repentance. He's the one who brought us faith. So every condition that's necessary, Christ gave to us. And you done quoted us, kept by the, He'll keep us by the power of God. And one of these days, He's going to change this old vile body and fashion it like unto His glorious body. And here's the fourth word, and I'll be done. Look there again in verse 29.
For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son. Oh, I heard a fellow tell a story. He went in an old country store one time. Before I move on to the next one. Went into an old country store one time. And he saw these wooden dogs whittled, sitting all over the place in there. Painted, you know, they was all painted and everything. And there's a fellow sitting by an old potbelly stove, whittling. And there's still some old country churches, weeds. First church I preached in Tennessee had a potbelly stove in it, and we built a fire in that thing in the middle of winter one time, and all the walls come alive. Started coming out of the wall. We was fighting walls. That's true. And I cut the wood to help. I helped cut the wood to start that first fire in that thing. But anyway, this fellow sitting whittling, and he said, "How in the world do you do that? How do you so good at that?" He said, "Well, I cut away everything that don't look like a dog." And that's what God's doing to us. He's cutting away everything. You know, He don't take us out of the world. He takes the world out of us. And He's going to keep whittling, and He's going to keep working, and He's going to keep ordaining, and He's going to keep dealing with us, and He's going to keep working at us, and touching our hearts, and touching our minds, and touching our souls. And one of these days, He's going to put that last cut, and we're going to close our eyes. Bless His holy name. Go close our eyes. We're going to go be with Him. And He's going to look just like Him. Go be like Him. Without sin. Perfect love. Perfectly. Oh. What a blessed day that's going to be. Oh. To take God. Take everything away from me. That's not like Christ. Oh. And the fourth word is that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. The firstborn among many brethren. You know, He was the firstborn, and He's the head of the church. And what do we mean by the firstborn? There's other people that raised from the dead, but God raised them and Christ raised them. This man raised himself from the dead. He is the firstborn. He's the one, only one who died and rose again by His own power. And He lives forever. Everybody else that was raised from the dead had to die again. That's why our Lord cried at Lazarus too. You know why? I've got to bring him back into this world. And he's going to have to go through this again. He's going to have to go through this again. But, oh, listen, He's going to be the firstborn among many brethren. You know where it says that we have the adoption of children? He said He's predestinated us to the adoption of children. Let me see if I can... You know why it says that He adopted us? You know, we're sons of God by birth. We're born again, sons of God by birth. He made us partakers of the divine nature. He brought into existence when He saved us a spiritual man who never existed before. This is the man that we love the gospel. This is the man who delights in the scriptures. This is the man who loves God like He is. This is this man that God put in us. This is the man that understands the Bible. This is the man that desires God. This is the man who longs to be conformed to the image of Christ. But God only had one son. One son, one only begotten son, and that son is heir of all things. Heir of all things. Now, if I've got two children, and three grandchildren, and three great grandchildren. So, if I leave anything to them, they're going to have to. I mean, it's got to be split up. They get this part, and they get that. But when God adopted us, and the reason we are adopted is that as an adopted child, we have right to the inheritance. And that's why it says Christ is heir. When Abraham told him to go get the bride for Isaac, they said, this is what I want you to tell him when you get over there. You know what he said? My master has given all things to his son. And God has given all things into Christ's hands. And so all the inheritance is his. Now how am I going to get any of it? God adopts us. And by that, he makes us joint heirs with Christ. And here's the thing about it. With all the children he's got, it's like, you know, if you had five kids, you cut the pie five ways, and everybody gets a piece. Well, in Christ, we get the whole pie. We get it all. You know, that all of us will have an inheritance like we're the only one who gets it. That's how wealthy our Lord is. He makes us joint heirs with Him, and He's as wealthy as He ever was when He gives us everything He's got. All right. We're conformed to Christ, born of God. Conformed to Christ in relationship. Now are we the sons of God. He sent the Spirit of His Son into our hearts. We cry, Abba Father. And oh my, we're conformed to Christ in character. We're not of this world, as He's not of this world. And we're conformed to Him in inheritance, so we're joint heirs with Him. And I tell you what, one of these days, the Scripture says, we'll see Him as He is. And we shall be just like Him. Just like Him. And beloved, this is the doctrine of predestination. Salvations of the Lord. He predestinated us to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. And God has ordained that every believer should be like His Son. And He's ordained the means to accomplish that work. He which hath begun a good work in you, He shall perform it unto that day. And this is the only question we have to answer. Do you want to be made like Christ? The sooner the better. The sooner the better. Amen? The sooner the better. Amen. Thank you, Clay. Thank you for having me. Appreciate it very much.